Good morning and welcome. It's well seen Alex away. I'll get into a row for that now. It's nice to have you with us. If you're visiting, I hope you enjoy your time with us. And please join us for tea and coffee after the service when there'll be a light lunch for sale as well. Your money for your Link magazine will be collected today, so if you haven't already given it to Margaret, you can catch her on your way out. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday morning at 9:15, and this week we'll hold in our prayers the folks in Manch Road and the community. The coffee morning at St Ninian's every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And the book group will meet tonight at 7:30 in the church hall, and the book for this month is Pilgrim's Progress. Have your cake and eat it, a Macmillan Cancer Support fundraiser here tomorrow night, the 16th of September, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. The tickets are £3 and they're on sale today, so if you don't already have your ticket, we'll catch you as you leave. There's also a raffle on the night, and there's two large hampers, which will be a separate raffle at £2 a ticket. Any donations of baking or raffles or whatever would be gratefully received. We'll be down in the church hall in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, so if anybody would like to come along and help to put the tables and the cups and saucers out, it would be most appreciated. Hope Cafe on Thursday the 19th of September, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the congregational conference meeting, but it's not the congregational conference meeting, it's a compassionate community meeting on Thursday the 19th of September, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Elders and board members should attend, but all church members and adherents are very welcome to come along as well. The BBC Scotland Young Musician of the Year is on Saturday the 21st of September at St Mary's Episcopal Church in Hamilton. And I've got here that the details are on the notice board, but a certain person just come back his holidays and he hadn't time to do the poster. So it'll be up eventually. The next Guild Craft Night will be on Monday the 23rd of September at 7:30 in the church hall. And the bags for Sunday school will be collected on Thursday the 3rd of October, but can be handed into the church hall on Wednesday the 2nd of October between 6:30 and 9 p.m. We actually have quite a few bags already there on the stage, so if you need to bring them down before October, you can do. Anyone willing to assist with a work party, if you could speak to Bob to arrange a suitable date. And if you know of anyone who's ill and in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could let Anne know. And we have got a happy occasion. Andy and Sadie are celebrating their golden wedding. It's not actually this weekend, but they're going to be on holiday to celebrate. So congratulations to the two of you. We will be doing another fire evacuation. So if you discover a fire, if you would let one of the elders know, to let you know that there is a fire, a whistle will be blown and we will shout fire. You leave the building from the nearest exit, which might be behind you. It could be this side. It says on here dial 999, but that's for the person that's leading that week, not for every member of the congregation to dial 999. And report to the assembly point at the grass area out at the front. And do not take your personal belongings. But as I said last week, I know you all will. So, Stuart, it's nice to have you back.
The personal belongings include your spouse. Just asking. Well, see, mine's no here today. Hello. It's nice to be out. I'm full of the cold, so if I start coughing and spluttering, I apologise. We come before you today, leaving our sense of privilege at the door. God of the marginalised, we come before you today, leaving the boundaries which we create at the door. God of the abused, we come before you today, leaving our sense of power at the door. We come to worship a God who does not exploit the poor, the powerless and the marginalised, male or female, but loves and welcomes us all. Let's join and sing. Our first hymn is number 198. Let us build a house where love can dwell. join together in prayer. Mighty, mysterious God, you are beyond all our thoughts and our imagination. Human words can't describe you. Human thoughts can't contain you. Human doctrines must not be allowed to define you. So forgive us, we pray, when we create you in our own image, without even realizing that we're doing so. Greedy for power and wealth, we imagine you telling us to take what we want. Threatened by powerful enemies, we fashion you as a mighty warlord. Angry at injustice in the world, we create heaven and hell in the next, setting you up as the judge who is to be blessed and people who will be eternally damned. Lacking in self-worth, we hear you condemning us for our sins. Uncomfortable with uncertainty, we box you in with our limited notion of who you are and what you want from us. Fearful of your freedom and our own, we lock you into how people in the past once imagined you to be. And we exclude all who dare to differ. Ever creating God of boundless imagination, wild spirit who cannot be contained, God with us and within us, incarnate in every generation, satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst so that we do not need to take from others. Teach us to love our enemies, or at least not to be afraid of them. Direct our righteous anger into action for justice here and now. Secure in the knowledge of your love, may we live without guilt and shame, excited about all we have yet to discover and able to enjoy our newfound freedom, and to allow you the freedom to be God, always the same and eternally surprising. Hear us, Lord, as we join in your word, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we read today from Judges chapter 11, and Hugh is going to read for us.
First reading this morning is from Judges 11, verses 1 to 10, and is entitled Jephthah. Jephthah was a brave soldier from Gilead, was the son of a prostitute. His father Gilead had other sons by his wife, and when they grew up, they forced Jephthah to leave home. They said to him, "You will not inherit anything from our father. You're the son of another woman." Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. There he attracted a group of worthless men, and they went round with them. It was some time later that the Ammonites went to war against Israel. When this happened, the leaders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah back from the land of Tob. They said, "Come and lead us, so that we can fight the Ammonites." But Jephthah answered, "You hated me so much that you forced me to leave my father's house. Why come to me now that you're in trouble?" They said to Jephthah, "We are turning to you now because we want you to go with us and fight the Ammonites and lead all the people of Gilead." And Jephthah said to them, "If you take me back home to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gives me victory, I will be your ruler." They replied, "We agree. The Lord is our witness." The second reading is also from Judges 11, verses 29 to 40. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He went through Gilead and Maseah and returned to Mizpah in Gilead and went to Ammon. Jephthah promised the Lord, "If you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will burn as an offering the first person that comes out of my house to meet me when I return home from victory. I will offer that person to you as a sacrifice." So Jephthah crossed the river to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave him victory. He struck at them from Arar to the area of Mimith, 20 cities in all, and as far as Achiel and Keramim. There was a great slaughter, and the Ammonites went defeated by Israel. When Jephthah went back home to Mizpah, there was his daughter coming to meet him, dancing and playing the tambourine. She was his only child. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in sorrow and says, "O my daughter, you are breaking my heart. Why must it be you that causes me pain? I have made a solemn promise to the Lord, and I cannot take it back." She said to him, "If you have made a promise to the Lord, and what you said would do to me, since the Lord has given you revenge on your enemies, the Ammonites." But she asked her father, "Do this one thing for me. Leave me alone for 2 months, so that I can go with my friends to wander in the mountains and grieve that I must die a virgin." He told her to go and sent her away for 2 months. She and her friends went up into the mountain and grieved because she was going to die unmarried and childless. After 2 months, she came back to her father. He did what he had promised and to the Lord, and she died still a virgin. This was the origin of the custom of Israel, that the young women would go away for 4 days every year to grieve for the daughters of Jephthah of Gilead. Amen.
Thanks, Hugh. Morning. All right. Morning. So, who's ever made a promise? Yeah? Nobody's ever made a promise. Nobody's... Have you? Anybody else? Put your hand up if you made a promise. None of you have made promises. Okay, most of you are married. So, you know, that's a promise. Yeah, so we make promises all the time, don't we? And sometimes we keep them and sometimes we don't. Don't we? So sometimes we say, "Oh, I promise I'll do that," and then we don't. And sometimes we wish for things, don't we? Who's ever wished for something? What have you wished for, Max? Wish to have powers, like Superman powers. What kind of powers? Every power. So Max wants to be an all-powerful being. Excellent. Has that come true yet? No? You're still wishing, though?
Yeah,
you're waiting to see it. Right. So one of the things that we do is we wish on things, isn't it? So shooting stars, what else?
A magic elf.
Magic elves. Have you seen one? You're going to get one. Okay, so Max is getting a magic elf for Christmas. Excellent. Are you listening to that? Magic elf for Christmas. Brilliant. What other things do we wish on? When do we make wishes?
A shooting star.
Right, shooting star, that's one. Any other times? Birthdays. So when at your birthday? When you blew out, it was Anne's birthday, wasn't it? So did you make a wish for your birthday? But you can't tell us what it is or it won't come true. That's how that works, isn't it? And we make prayer. Well, that's kind of different, isn't it? It's kind of the same because it's what we wish for, isn't it? It's the things that we want to happen. So what other things do we... There's a clue on the screen. Dandelions. You ever make wishes blowing dandelions? On what? On feathers. So if you see a feather, that... Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that we do in terms of... Our story today is a really strange story. It's about a man called Jephthah, right? Which is a funny name, Jephthah, it's his name. And Jephthah is... he's sent away. His brothers don't like him because he's got a different mum. And they send Jephthah away. And Jephthah becomes like an outlaw. And he's a really, really good fighter. And then other people come and they're going to invade. And they want to start a war with Jephthah's people, and so they go and get him back because he's a really good fighter, so they want him to be in charge. And Jephthah makes this strange wish promise to God. He says, "If you let me win, if we win, I'll give you as an offering the first person that comes out of my door when I come home." He's going to kill the first person that comes out the door as an offering to God. And did you hear who it was that comes out the door? It's his only daughter that comes out the door. And he's stuck with this promise because he's made this promise to God, even though God said years and years and years before with Abraham and Isaac, "I don't want you to do that anymore." We don't want those kind of offerings anymore. But he was so convinced that God could help him win that he made this really horrendous promise. And he was stuck with it. And sometimes we all do that, don't we? We make promises and we think, oh, I wish I'd never said that. I wish I'd thought about the consequences. I wish I'd thought about what might happen if that comes true. Because sometimes we make really selfish wishes, don't we? They're things that we want for us. And sometimes if they come true, they hurt other people. And that's what Jephthah did. He didn't think through what he was asking for. So sometimes it's good just to take a step back, isn't it? And just to think, well, what would happen if you had all the powers in the world? Would that be good for everybody? It might. Yes, you would. You would. And you'd use your powers for good, wouldn't you? But sometimes people don't they? They use the powers that we have to do bad things and to hurt other people. And Jephthah's a wee reminder of that, that we need to be careful sometimes what we wish for. We're going to sing. We're marching in the light of God. We're going to sing it through twice. You get to clap and do the oohs and all that kind of things if you want. So let's sing together. I wasn't convinced that you were marching in the light of God. I have to say, you looked as if you'd rather be doing anything else in the world. Have you ever made a decision, a promise, or a vow and wished you hadn't? Or perhaps you've committed to an idea, a decision, a course of action, and it turned out not to be what you thought it was going to be. But by the time that you found out, you were way too deep to change your mind or to get rid of it. It happens to us all the time. Sometimes in really small ways and sometimes in big ways that can change the course of our lives. And like all things, it seems as if there's nothing under the sun that's new. Perhaps things don't change very much. Jephthah was an outcast. His half-brothers had driven him away, because he was their half-brother. We still have a saying that the sins of the father will be visited upon their sons. And that's exactly what happened to Jephthah. He was a son of a prostitute, and he was driven away. What's interesting about that is that his father Gilead, who slept with the prostitute, isn't driven away. That doesn't seem to be an issue at all. And that can, I think, help us to understand a little bit about the power that men had in those days and how little regard was paid to women. It also helps us to understand how important inheritance was. Gilead's sons don't want to split their inheritance with Jephthah, so they gang up on him and they send him away. And it seems like their father, Gilead, has nothing to say about that. He certainly does nothing to stop it. Jephthah does what he's good at. We read that he's a mighty warrior, and so he puts his skills to good use on the wrong side of the law. And soon he's joined by others, a band of outlaws. But suddenly things change. The Ammonites make war against Israel, and the people need a warrior to lead them. Jephthah's skill set is now very much in demand by the very people who banished him, who threw him out, who sent them away. They need a charismatic warrior to lead them in battle. And to be honest, they don't really care who it is, as long as they win. And they make him a promise which I'm sure they might come to regret. If we win, you can be in charge. You can almost see the movie trailer now, can't you? Small town boy, outcast, becomes a bandit and is welcomed back as the big hero. The classic rags to riches tale. One of those archetypal stories that we sometimes talk about. It's the plot of half the movies ever made. So back he comes. And Jephthah makes his own promise to God. And it's pretty extreme. If you will give me the Ammonites and defeat them, then whoever comes out of the door of my house to meet me, I will, when I return victorious, shall be the Lord's offering and will be offered up as a burnt offering. I'm not even sure where to start with that. If I win, the first person that comes out the door of my house, I'm going to burn as an offering to God. I wonder what you would give to get what you want. Because it seems as though Jephthah is willing to give up a lot. Or is he? I wonder if Jephthah thinks, oh, it's bound to be one of the servants that come out the door. That'll be fine. It's not like they matter. Because that's who would usually come out first to greet their master. The servant, to get his stuff and to make sure everything's okay. It seems as though every time I go on holiday, something significant happens in the world of politics. I'm glad to say that the last couple of weeks have been pretty quiet, though. I mean, apart from the Prime Minister losing every vote that he's had in Parliament and lying to the Queen and shutting down Parliament illegally and questioning the impartiality of the Scottish legal system and the Speaker resigning and the publication of the Yellowhammer documents detailing how Brexit is actually going to be a complete disaster for everybody. I mean, nothing much has happened, has it? The events of the last couple of weeks have been fascinating and more than a little concerning. And it begs the same question that Jephthah introduces us to. What would you risk to get what you want? When Jephthah returns home, it's his only daughter who comes out the door first. This is not the story of an outcast who becomes king. It's not a heroic overcoming of an adversity to triumph in the end. The story of Jephthah is a tragedy. It's the story of a man who's been looked down on by his own people, who was driven to the margins of society and then given the chance to take back control, to be in charge, to get his own back on the people who have looked down on him because of something that wasn't even his own fault. And when he gets the chance to win, he gets his own back. He jumps at the chance to get his own back. Not to do what's right, but to be in charge. And he makes this rash, ill-conceived, unthought-through promise. In his quest for power and influence and self-advancement, he sentences his only child, his daughter, to death. And when he sees her, he tears his clothes and says, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You have become the cause of a great trouble for me. Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You have become a great trouble for me." Like it's her fault. All she did was rush out to meet her dad, the one who's supposed to protect her and care for her and put his needs below hers. What the story does brilliantly is to linger on her loss rather than his. This girl isn't even given a name, perhaps to show just how powerless she is. But she also becomes every innocent woman who's ever been caught up as a casualty of war and ambition and the lust for power. And her actions seem strange to us. She accepts her fate. She asks only one thing, that she might go with her friends into the mountains and to mourn her virginity. Some scholars question whether or not she actually went off to spend the rest of her life in isolation rather than becoming the victim of a human sacrifice. Because it's a practice that by that time had long been forgotten. Nobody did that anymore. But whatever her fate, it wasn't what anybody had hoped for. Her father's rash promise, made in his own interests, take away her future from her. But also from him. Jephthah has no other children, and so his line will come to an end. A story that began with someone being cut off from their inheritance because of the sins of his father ends with the same man ending his own line. The tragedy is, though, that Jephthah thought he was doing a good thing. He thought he was making things right, getting back to the good old days when he had a position, when he was part of his community, when he was part of the tribe. Back to a time when everything seemed to make sense to him and people needed him. To get back to a time when he mattered. And still we mourn for the daughters of Jephthah. Those innocent children whose future is stolen by our greed and ambition and our insecurity. In Yemen, the scene of a deadly civil war and famine which threatens to affect 10 million people. The UK has given £770 million in aid. And that seems loads, doesn't it? It seems really generous. Until you realise that we've made £6.2 billion selling arms to people who are in that fight. Our government's own predictions are that a no-deal Brexit will cause a rise in food prices, shortages of essential medicine, and of course those things will disproportionately affect the poor. There'll be a rise in black market activity, the possibility of civil unrest, and according to ministers, it's worth the risk. Even though nobody can tell us what we'll gain from leaving the world's biggest free trade market and from being part of something that's caused the longest period of peace and political stability in the history of Europe. In the history of Europe. And still we mourn for the daughters of Jephthah, those innocent children whose future is stolen by our greed and ambition and our insecurities. And we forget all too quickly that the fighting between neighbours, between tribes like the Amorites and the Israelites, is not a thing of the past. The genocides of Rwanda and the Balkans and Myanmar are not so very far from home. And they all begin with people talking about others. People who somehow become less than us. Jephthah promised the life of someone else. People only make those kind of promises when they think someone else's life is worth less than theirs. He didn't promise that if he was given victory, he would hand over his own life to God. No, I'll throw one of my servants under the bus because their life isn't worth as much as mine. I'll make a promise and hope it's worth the risk. No wonder we still mourn the daughters of Jephthah, those innocent children whose future is stolen by our greed, our ambition, and our own insecurities. Or do we? Do we mourn them? Or do we shake our heads and change the channel and turn the page? Perhaps we murmur a prayer and thank God that it's not us or our children. And so there arose a custom among the Israelites that for 4 days every year the daughters of Israel would go and lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gilead. 4 days to remember what had happened, what they had done. Not just Jephthah, but all of them, because they all played their part. His father, his brothers, who outlawed him, sent him off to join a band of thieves and robbers. The elders who begged him to come back and promised him leadership if they were given victory. They all shared in the cost. Their security, their victory, their way of life, all at the cost of someone else's security, someone else's life. Perhaps we should take some time to mourn for the daughters of Jephthah, those innocent children whose future is stolen by our greed, our ambition, and our insecurities. Perhaps we should take the time to reflect on our own part in this story, our wants, our insecurities, our own actions that lead to the exploitation or abuse or even the death of someone else. The great prophet Amos wrote, "There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in the courts and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose tax on their grain. Therefore, though you will build stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you've planted lush vineyards, you will never drink the wine from them. For I know how many are your offences and how great are your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you just as you say he is. Hate evil and love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy to the remnant of Joseph. Even though you bring me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them, says the Lord. So away with the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the music of your hearts. But let justice roll. Let justice roll like a river, and righteousness like a never-ending stream. And until that time, we should mourn for the daughters of Jephthah. Amen. We join in singing hymn 704, I vow to thee, my country. We bring our offering to God. Lord God, who knows and loves every creature that you have made, who notices when a single sparrow falls or when an unnamed girl has her life cut short because of someone else's foolishness. We bring along with our gifts of money today a prayer for thoughtfulness before we speak, especially when we dare to speak in your name. We commit ourselves to being more attentive to those who will be affected by our choices and our actions, the little ones, whom Jesus said were our special concern. Help us to keep this promise that we have made. In Jesus' name, amen. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thank you. join in prayer. God of all, we bring our prayers and concern for other people and for ourselves. And we do so with both a spirit of realism, that we might be able to meet the needs that we identify, and seeking your challenge to us to go beyond what we think is possible and reveal the new possibility that grace and reconciliation and love can bring. The horror of our story today, Lord God, reminds us of all those who find their lives imperiled by the actions of others, whether by family members nearby or political leaders far away. May we never be shy to speak up and act out to protect those who are vulnerable. The reckless promise of Jephthah stirs memories in our own minds, Lord, of times when we've made commitments that we knew we couldn't keep, or that we realised would cause harm to others or to ourselves. May we never be afraid to admit when we've made a terrible mistake and have the strength of character to find a better way. For our political leaders, with grave responsibility to look after the national interest, may they too have the courage to admit error and the humility that comes with servant leadership. For young people still finding their way in our world, exploring and discovering how things work, may they always keep that inquisitive desire, and may they always point out to us the ramifications of today's actions on the long-term future. May they retain trust in their elders in a time when cynicism and trust is in short supply. And for older people, whose concerns may be closer to home at the present time, may they remember their youth, the dreams and aspirations that for some found rich fulfilment and for others were dashed on the shores of reality. May those with power to make decisions that affect young people do so fully aware of the ramifications of those decisions. May those with the power to make decisions that affect older people do so carefully, aware of all that they wish and all that that might do to those they make decisions for. Lord, our world is full of strife, full of conflict, full of greed and self-aggrandizement. So we take time to pray for ourselves, for those we meet each day, and for those people we will never meet. And in the quiet, we bring concern for all of them to you. Lord of all, Hear these our prayers offered in Jesus' name. Amen. So we join in our final hymn. It's number 706. For the healing of the nations, Lord, we pray with one accord. May we ask the questions of faith, where is God, and not shrink from asking. May we wrestle and worry and lament, and find in these the meaning of a deeper, more honest faith. And may we go from here with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with us all this day and forevermore.